Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Watched a little video of Charleston, South Carolina, Carol, and they're, even though this is a tropical storm, they're getting quite a surge of water right now, and there's some flooding. And you look at the scenes from the weekend. You know, I don't know how you operate on the weekends. I tend to try to remove myself from the
normally
news a little bit, just to, you know, we're always talking about these big stories day after day, and I don't even pay much attention on Twitter. But, you know, this weekend, if I wasn't watching football or doing something with the family, I was dialed into what was going on down there because
right.
I just didn't know how bad it was going to be. And I still think we don't really have a sense of the devastation because since the whole state was involved, the whole state's not going to be wiped away and it's not going to be just a clear path, but there are some areas that are still struggling.
There's still impact, and we have family and friends that have been impacted. So we have been paying close attention. My mother-in-law's home in St. Croix in the Virgin Islands, she lost trees.
Because your husband is from area.
Is from, born in St. Lucia, grew up in St. Croix, and then even back to Harvey. My sister lives in Houston, so we have been on this hurricane watch track, and now we're looking at Atlanta. My nephew and niece and sister-in-law and her family live in Atlanta. And, you know, we're talking about power outages, but mm-hmm. high winds, and friends who have young college students in Savannah, Georgia, and in parts of Florida. So a lot of Americans who you may not even have property, but you've got family and friends. So this whole country is probably impacted one way or another. It's not even 6 degrees of separation.
I think you're right about that. Now, how is St. Croix?
St. Croix is further south, and so it did not get hit as much as the British Virgin Islands. Or as much as I want to say, not
the like St. Thomas looks really
St.
bad.
St. Thomas got hit really
I
bad.
I saw some video on Twitter of St. Thomas, just someone sort of driving the roads.
Right.
And I'm like, this looks like a
nothing
war
left.
Zone. Right.
Nothing left. And so I've heard my husband talking to my mother-in-law and telling her that she needed to stock up on supplies because what may happen is people from St. Thomas may come to St. Croix. And so if you have a surge of population looking for housing, they're looking for supplies, you know, those things may become scarce on her island. So I heard him telling her to be prepared because they may see a population surge from those people who lost everything in St. Thomas.
Think about that. You know, the impacts of this just from from a tourism perspective too. Everything, well, people vacation in Florida, they have homes in Florida, there's Disney World, all that stuff.
But all those jobs associated with those things?
In the Caribbean, where these, and they'll be rebuilt because I know I was, when I was married the first time, was actually in St. Thomas. And then mm-hmm. a few years after, I can't remember if it was a few years after that, there was a pretty bad hurricane down there. And then I revisited St. Thomas about 10 years ago. And you really never know. There are a few things that might have changed, but they have to rebuild. But man, this process is going to take a long time.
A long time. And the companies like Enterprise sending 6,000 cars to the Houston area. I mean, we all have to be on guard because those cars will be coming, you know, our way. And you don't want to make sure you buy a car that either full disclosure it was flooded
out. That's a good point.
Or you just have to make sure, and even dealers can get taken advantage of. So the impact
there's all
of
these
this,
things that you don't think about, but
that
you're right.
You don't think about it. And you know what? I keep wondering too, will we all see insurance spikes at some point in time?
I was wondering about that
this
too.
This is massive.
This
you're
is talking
massive.
About, I mean, hundreds of billions of dollars, hundreds of
yes.
billions of dollars.
Yes, this is massive. And so we all in some way, shape or form may see some impact, whether you had a home that was damaged or a friend who was frightened.
Well, maybe if there's anything good, the death part of this with death and destruction in Florida, I think it's only one person. Now, obviously, I think it's 36 in parts of the Caribbean and elsewhere.
Caribbean, yes.
But, man, I think it could have been a lot worse there,
could
too.
Could have absolutely been a lot worse.
Yeah. All right, we'll hear from you again during Total Information PM on KMOX. I'm going to try to keep it positive this hour. I wanted to get to the Steve Bannon stuff, and I may run out of time. But my friend Grant Corrigan is coming here in the studio, and his story is amazing. I first had him in about 5 years ago. I didn't even know him that well at that point. In fact, I think that was the first time we've become good friends. And he was this adventurer, athlete, and snowmobiler. He had a devastating accident that left him paralyzed, but you would never know it. The amount of positivity that emits from this guy and this project that he's involved with right now, with a trek to the South Pole that was made into a documentary, and they're hoping to get it into Sundance. This is a story that you simply will not forget. Grant's coming up next on KMOX. Hang in there.
Welcome to St. Louis. Welcome to KMOX.
All right, welcome back. I am really looking forward to this conversation because this guy I'm going to feature here, I met him for the first time probably 5 years ago in this studio. One thing that's amazing is he comes in, Grant Corrigan is his name. He's an author, motivational speaker, and soon-to-be film star, I guess it's fair to say. Right, Grant? Because this documentary is going to come out. But you were here when we put an event on with my friend John Lynch for Lift for Life Academy, and there was a bunch of musicians involved, and we did a couple of these, and you came as a featured speaker to one of those. Do you remember how long ago that was?
That was 4 years ago. That was 2013. We were just talking about it in the car, and what an event. Music, mm-hmm. love, stoke, inspirational words, and all to help the Lift for Life gym. It was wonderful.
So the reason I bring that up is because you've only been here one time, and that was the first time that I met you. And in the effort of full disclosure, we became friends. We have gone on this trip together to Mexico and vacation, which was sort of centered around your philosophy, which is mad love, and we'll get to that in a second. But as I'm walking in and I greeted them in the lobby, my wife is here as their chauffeur today, and I said, you remember how to get back to the studio? And I was talking to my wife, and Grant's like, oh, yeah, I remember. I'm like, how do you remember? You've only been here one time, and you had it down, right? Take a left and then take a right.
You know, it's interesting. All these details that you need in times when you need them seem to just compress and become totally usable. But then in the rest of your life, this is all wasted brain space. So I was joking that I'm more like a beach ball in terms of intelligence in times when I don't need to be on. So I had it covered.
Yeah. Well, that's your wife, Shauna. Hi, Shauna. How are you?
I am fantastic.
And
I'm honored to be
she's
here.
She's a big part of this story, too. So one thing I need you guys to do, just because I want everyone to hear this, is pull those microphones just a little bit closer, and we're going to share this story. Just grab it. Yeah, you can get yourself closer. Just grab it and pull it. There you go, Grant. So just get it real close.
Right next shoulder to shoulder right here.
No, well, either way, you can do that. Grant, I want you to go back. You wrote this book 2 feet back. So let's take folks back to the year the accident was what?
2010. March 5th, 2010.
Let's go to March 4th, 2010. What's your life like? March 4th, 2010.
March 4th, 2010, I am a nanotechnologist. I'm a scientist. I'm a guy that had started a company in the realm of nanotechnology and had built this entire world of technology based upon, I'm going to get geeky with you here.
That's
but
all
it
right.
was laser physics ablation targets that we were creating to make high energy, high density laser ablation scenarios exist, which had implications in terms of curing cancer potentially and reducing ocular tumors.
Pretty much to the level of what I do on the radio every day. And just blab and you know, make fun of people.
It was
so very close to that.
Minus the silky voice. I had some cracks in my voice.
So yeah, you had this amazing career doing that and really important work, but you were also, is it fair to say, an extreme athlete? You're an athlete, but like one of the X Games types athletes. Is that accurate?
An adventure athlete.
Yeah, okay.
So I was also...
I would use the word crazy. That's what I would use.
It's, you know, it's a beautiful thing like that. It's this self-expression experience where as a whitewater kayaker and a professional snowmobiler and a skier and a climber and a pilot and someone who loves to be out with paragliders and just experiencing this earth in the third dimension. You know, we move to the left, we move to the right, but it's so excellent when we get to leave the ground and experience that and express that. And there's so many sports in this day and age that we can participate in that allows us to have these experiences in a safe, controlled, and progressive way. And that was the other half of my life. One half, I was a scientist. The other, I was an athlete.
All right, March 5th, what happened?
March 5th, we were filming a movie. We were out there, a professional snowmobiler. We're shooting this movie. This was a scene that we had planned for over a year. Jumps that we had put together and built out in the Sierra backcountry, not far from Lake Tahoe in California. And I overshot one of the jumps. I landed too hard and I burst fractured my first L1 vertebrae. I broke my back, sustained a spinal cord injury, and instantly entered the realm of spinal cord injury recovery, which began the minute the helicopter landed. And I remember getting whisked down the elevator and being strapped to this bed, and they're taking me down the hallway and the white lights are going over my head, and I'm grabbing everyone that I can, nurses, doctors, whoever's leaning in with clipboards, and I'm yelling, call my wife. Call my wife, because I was a newlywed. I'd been married for 5 months.
You guys,
Shauna,
you guys have been married, just married, right?
Yeah, just married 5 months before.
So you knew what Grant was all about in how much of an athlete he was, but what do you remember about getting that phone call in the rush to the hospital?
Oh, I remember every single moment of it. And, you know, kind of speaking to that of, yes, I absolutely knew who Grant was, and that's one of the things that I fell in love with, is his spirit and his ability to follow his passions. And it inspired everyone around them in these athletic pursuits that he was pursuing. And whether it was in the lab working on curing cancer or rock climbing or mountain biking, and he's always been that one to just remind you, you know, he reminded me so much to follow my passions, to do the things that you love to do. And I think that's what the sports are. And so when I got the call, you know, yeah, there's always something in the back of the mind like, yeah, okay, something could happen. But I didn't anticipate that it would be that call from the helicopter pilot telling me I had to get to the hospital as fast as I could.
So life changes completely at that moment, right? Mm-hmm. In a very unexpected way. And I think most people, I might put myself in this category, because I can't even imagine, and I've met people like you, Grant, and I mentioned John O'Leary earlier. He's a guy who, when he was a child, he was burned over 90% of his body. He did not think that he was going to live. Do you know his story, John?
He's a St. Louis guy.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
And I've been telling John about you guys now for years, and I was hoping that he could be here to meet him, because they're very close similarities in your stories.
We just watched him give a keynote presentation in Vegas maybe 3-4 months ago.
Yeah, well,
and
I read
blew our minds.
Yeah, he would remember it. Like, so he spoke at the Arbonne National Conference in Las Vegas. We've all read his book, and it was really fantastic.
You've got two John O'Leary fans in the studio.
Well, yeah. I'm going to pass this along to him, because I texted him last week. I said, John, are you going to be around? Oftentimes on a Monday, he'll be here because he does a podcast, and he just, you know, didn't get arranged this day. But the story is similar, and the reason I bring it up is because I think a lot of us who haven't gone through something that traumatic think, how could we ever come out of it in a positive way? And you and John just drive me nuts and annoy the living daylights out of me, because you're always happy and so positive.
It's true.
It is true, isn't it?
You know, there's something so special about perspective. When all the chips go down and the cards fall to the floor, you are left with your truth. You're left with the bare bones of what's really important in life. When all of it gets ripped away, these distractions, these digital distractions and life distractions and pursuits that seem to be all-consuming, when they're gone, you're left with each other. You're left with this moment right here, where what matters are these interactions with other human beings and your friends and your family. And in my case, my connection with my wife, I wanted to rise with every ounce of my being to give this glorious woman the man she married. And I don't mean just the body. I mean all of it, my spirit, my heart, who I am as a person, my personality. I didn't want to get back to 95% and give her 5% of me that's newly bummed, because what? I had an injury? No matter how big, spinal cord injury, a broken thumb, what? It doesn't matter. Knock it off and give her all of me. That's been my perspective. And in doing that, you see the glory, the beauty, the zest of this world that we live in. It's so worthy to be here.
So let me offer a small example of how Grant lives his life right now. When we take this trip to Todos Santos, Mexico, it's a surfing community down there. And I've only attempted to be on a surfboard just a few times, and I stick to boogie boards right now. But you have a contraption that is a modified surfboard that you take out there. And I'm talking about, I've showed people this video that was taken with a drone from a couple of years ago, where you go out in some of the biggest waves that most people, even really good surfers, would probably shy away from. Describe the contraption, as I refer to it, that you're in. You paddle out, you go out to these waves, and you surf like it's just, you know, nothing. Most people couldn't surf that way on a surfboard, and you're paralyzed and you can do this. It's amazing.
I appreciate it. Honestly, life is all about perspective. It's about experiences. It's about these opportunities to live our individual truths. And for me, my life pre-injury was an athletic life. Yes, I was a scientist, but as a professional athlete, I loved progressing these sports and these feelings and these techniques that I had in various different platforms of these sports. But surfing was one that imagine for everybody out there, imagine what it's like to slide down one of Mother Nature's 5, 10, 15 foot walls in some beautiful paradise location and get speed, kinematic speed from the potential energy of a wave and then do tricks. For me, this blows my mind. It absolutely captivates my spirit. And I've got this 8-foot surfboard.
It's kind of like a bit of a kayak surfboard combo, right?
Yeah. So a great guy named Tyler Lawston, TL Designs, he made this wave for me. He's a surf shaper. And he shaped this board. It's an 8-0 surfboard that he made a cutout for my butt, a cutout for my feet. I've got straps for my feet and a seat belt, let's say. Mm-hmm. And I use my kayak paddle from my background in whitewater kayaking. I always put a helmet on in some of these bigger wave scenarios.
Yes.
And I get to drop in on waves that blow my mind and break my spirit wide open and fill my heart with joy. And those moments in Todos Santos that you're describing, I remember one set. It was a Wednesday. It was this outside set that came through. I know the one you're thinking about.
Yeah.
It was one of the biggest waves I've ever surfed.
Yeah. And by the way, the drone was filming that one. It almost got swallowed up by the wave, right? Yeah. It was a big wave. And you know, the one thing that I asked you about after that was, because if you see this video, if you see Grant doing this, you will notice that once you hit the shore after catching a big wave, you got to paddle back, right? Just like a surfer would get on the board and paddle back. But I mean, you're doing everything you can. And I was always impressed with the amount of energy. But the reason you do that, you have to do that, right?
Correct. I can't duck dive. And the duck dive means you go under the waves and you rest. That's what a normal able-bodied surfer would do. And this is a metaphor for life. The waves never stop coming, ever, in life. The minute you wake up, there's always going to be new waves. And in my case, because I can't go under them, I have to face them all face first, head on. I've got to fight. I've got to fight, fight, fight. I've got to keep going, pushing. No matter how tired I am, I can't listen to that voice in my head. I have to take my body all the way to the outside of those waves to get to safety. And there is no stopping. There is no quitting. No matter how many times it flips me over, knocks me off, and blows me back to the beach, the only other option is give up and float into the sand. But then you don't get to surf any more waves.
So, Shauna, when Grant had his accident, though, I mean, and I know I've read the book, and 2 Feet Back, this is all described in great detail. And I remember one of the things at the beginning of the book is when you were first learning out about the injury, is that there were little contentious moments with some of the doctors, right? Mm-hmm. And you were a fighter too from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Was there ever a moment where you said, "Oh," because I think the natural human tendency would be, "Man, I just got married, and now this is devastating not only to my new husband, but to my entire life." But you never really approached it that way, did you?
No. Grant is the love of my life. He is my true north, and his happiness is my happiness. And so in that moment, the only thing I cared about was protecting his happiness and doing whatever we had to do. I kind of looked at this like, you know, my background's in exercise physiology. I'd been in the fitness industry for 15 years, I think, at that point in time. And to me, I just looked at it like, okay, this is an injury, this is an obstacle, and we're just going to have to push through this. And I needed to just create a bubble around Grant and say, we're going to do this. And all I cared about was that he knew that we were okay, and that he was not doing this alone, and that we were going to continue pursuing every goal and dream that we had. And when I said, I do, I meant it. And we promised each other a life of love, adventure. And when I said yes, there's no way that a spinal cord injury or anything for that matter would change my love for him and my commitment to him.
Part of the adventure included a trip to the South Pole, and not just any trip. And this has been turned into a documentary. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. And by the way, if you want to find out more about Grant and Shauna and the movement, it's choosepositivitynow.com. That's the website, right?
Correct.
Choosepositivitynow.com. The theme of this Mexico trip that I was referring to, it's called and I've talked about this on the air before, it's called the Mad Love Surf Safari. Why is it referred to as the Mad Love Surf Safari, Grant Corgan?
I've been so blessed to be friends with John and Cindy Lynch, our great friends that put this event together down in Mexico. And they were inspired by Lee Coulter, a musician who wrote a song called Mad Love, which is about the journey to the South Pole, which came from before my injury. I used to sign off all my texts and emails with Mad Love.
L-U-V.
Yes, M-A-D-L-U-V.
All right, hang on. We're going to tell the South Pole story, and I think people are going to be blown away by this. We'll come back with more with Grant and Shauna in a moment on KMOX.
Get the latest from the Cardinals from manager Mike Matheny on the Safeway GM Country Mike Matheny Show, Sundays at 10:15, exclusively on your home for best Cardinals coverage, KMOX.
All right, welcome back. Grant Corrigan is my guest and his wife, Shauna Corrigan, and their amazing story. And Grant, in just in a nutshell, for people who might have missed it, snowboarding accident in 2010 left him paralyzed from the waist down. Not only that, Grant, but I do want to mention this because I think this is an interesting aspect. You don't have any feeling in your legs, but you have phantom pain, don't you?
I do. So a snowmobiling accident in 2010, I overshot a jump, landed too hard, took it about 140 feet where I could have landed about 140 and been safe. So 2 feet past, which is how the name of my book came about. Had I landed 2 feet back, I'd be safe. I'm working on getting my 2 feet back, and mm-hmm. I can't feel my 2 feet because of my back. We hit the triple entendre with
right,
that action.
Right.
But I do. I still have phantom pain in the version of nerve pain. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as if my toenails are being ripped off.
So
even right now in the studio.
Right now you feel that.
100%.
It's how like, do you cope with that?
I think it's one of those, you look at monks and you look at these very far off mindsets where people go through, they endure great pain and they endure great separation from comfort. And when you're not into it and you don't experience it, it seems crazy. But when you're in the moment, you don't have a choice. So mm-hmm. it just is what it is, and I just push through.
Man. All right, let's talk about the South Pole Expedition. This I can't wait to see the movie. So there's a documentary that has been made that is about to roll out. You're hoping to get it to the Sundance Film Festival. Explain the trek to the South Pole. And Shauna played a pretty big role in this as well.
Ooh, I'll ruin the ending of the film as well. The South Pole push was this journey into the far reaches of the world. It was an expedition into the human condition where we went, the idea being to go down south to the bottom of the globe, to the South Pole, to the furthest I could be from medical help, to the furthest I could be from comfort, where it's going to be 50 below, 60 below, add wind chill, 70 below. And I was going to ski using only my arms all the way, the final degree of latitude across the polar plateau in Antarctica to the bottom of the globe in the South Pole. And I did just that. In 2012, the expedition happened on the 1 year anniversary of the Robert Falcon Scott Terra Nova expedition, and we filmed a documentary, and it's taken 5 years to get all of the post-production teams to finish the film, and we're now at the point 2 weeks from today, we submit for Sundance Film Festival. So we've got thousands of fingers crossed that this is a film that makes the film fest, and we're all premiering this incredible movie that's about the enduring human spirit, regardless of circumstance, in Utah. Come the end of January.
That final stretch, because when, and I've heard you personally talk about this, I've seen some of your talks talk about this, because that was an amazing journey, just those last, how many yards was it?
The last 100 yards.
Yeah, the last 100 yards. Can you describe that a little bit?
Absolutely, absolutely. So we had survived.
And can we ruin the end of the movie?
Yes, let's ruin the end
okay,
of the movie.
Okay, because I think the movie's going to be great, but the end of the movie and the story here, and since Shauna's here, I think we have to.
Absolutely.
Well, and I think I should say too, you know, Grant, we started training for this only, well, we started training a year after Grant had his injury. And he was still in a wheelchair when we started doing this. And so the accomplishment is just...
Yeah, not to lose people here, but just so people are trying to envision this a little bit, yeah. And I know it, and I don't want to assume. You're not in a wheelchair. You have, what would you... They're
canes.
Like crutches, canes,
yeah,
right.
I ambulate in canes. So I've gone from no feeling or movement below my belly button to now with my wife being this incredible trainer that's dedicated 10, 12 hours a day in therapy, 6 days a week, inside crushing me on all these indoor equipment pieces. I'm now to the point that I've gotten feeling and movement all the way to my knees, and I'm now walking in a set of canes. I still have no feeling or movement below my knees, but I'm now walking in canes. And the idea of this expedition was to give a powerful metaphor to the world that regardless of ability or perceived disability, in my case, that we can all do everything we want to do in this life, regardless of circumstance. And if I could be successful at the bottom of the world in 70 below conditions, then where else couldn't I be successful? And bigger than that, if I could be happy in that scenario, then where else couldn't I be happy? So here we are at the bottom of the world. It's the 100-year anniversary of the Robert Falcon Scott Terra Nova expedition. And we get about 300 feet from the pole. Now I'm skipping the whole story about how I've nearly lost my feet, getting all the way across Antarctica to the point where we can see the South Pole. I'm skipping all the training.
Your face is frozen, essentially, right?
You see yeah. in the movies, I've got this beard, this period-esque beard, and it's covered. I look like Santa Claus. My upper lip frozen to my lower lip. I mean, it's very claustrophobic. But here I am 300 feet out and I break. I'm fully emotional. I'm crying. I'm tears because there's the goal. After a year of training for it and a month of pushing to it, there's the goal. And I break in the tears and I look up to my teammate Tal and I say, Tal, I just wish Shauna were here in this moment to see this moment, to see this come to fruition because she trained me for this. And I break into tears and Tal, like any good teammate would, he kind of leans down, rubs my lower back, and he says, bro, keep it together. So you're right. You're right. Tal's totally right. So I keep it moving, right? 200 feet, 100 feet.
One thing I want to toss in here, because you always, I love the way you describe your crying, right?
True. Yes. Crying in Antarctica, very different thing, by the way, because the tears, they stack up. They don't just roll off your cheeks. They stack up. And then, you know, as men, when you break into the ugly cry, they burst off, you know, at
that's my favorite part. Yeah.
It's awful, right, you know,
so
because
you got to keep it. He's telling you, keep it together, Grant. Keep it together. You're close. You're literally inching toward
the South Pole.
The South Pole.
I have feet to go, and I get to that 100-foot mark. And this was my dream. This was my goal. As a kid, I remember seeing the big globe, and at the bottom, there was the white strip, which is what? Devoid of color. So I had to know what was down there. What's at the South Pole? And here I'm 100 feet from it. My dream was to stand up, ski the final 100 feet on my own 2 feet. And I did just that. My teammates gave me each one of their skis pole. They got me up out of that sit ski, and I left it behind as I skied the final 100 feet through those flags. There's 11 flags that are waving in the breeze, representing the original countries that formed the first Antarctic Treaty. The goggles come off. The tears are stacking up. They're breaking off. I'm crying. I'm getting there in 5 feet, 3 feet, 2 foot, 1 foot. There's 13 people right there as I hit the success button, land on the South Pole, touch it with my hand, and there's 13 people braving the cold, 50 below zero, welcoming in a new era of explorer coming in on the 100-year anniversary. And here comes this figure covered head to toe, right? Whole face mask, goggles, walks right in front of all our camera angles, a one-take moment. And I joke about it, like, maybe I'm not smart enough to understand what's going on. The bandwidth is totally tapped, steps right into my personal space, stops, pulls the face mask and the goggles, and says, welcome to the South Pole. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this chick looks just like my wife. You know, bandwidth totally tapped, not smart enough to understand what's going on, totally like pinned in the moment. And she goes for the kiss. Now, keep in mind, we left Shauna back on a different continent in South America in Punta Arenas. And this girl goes for the kiss. This is a crescendo moment. I mean, feel me on this. I may be kissing the wrong woman.
Did you actually think you may be hallucinating?
Fully, 100%. Yeah, right. 100%. You're so far out of body at this point after this expedition and getting there. And here's the South Pole. And here's this woman kissing you plus numb lips. It's 50 below zero. And she pulls away. And I realize it is you. It is my wife. It is Shauna. And I'm embarrassed, honestly. I'm embarrassed that my James Bond feelers weren't on enough to know what was going on. Yeah. Everybody knew, all
you
our friends and family.
You scammed good, didn't you?
I know.
Oh. It was a complete
the
setup.
Hardest secret to ever keep.
Ooh, but she's good at some secret keeping. They called her. They had a code word for her. They referred to her as Precious Cargo, which I clearly thought was champagne and pizza, right? Which I use when I'd use my, on my lat launch call-in coordinates. I'd, on these calls, as I'm getting closer to the South Pole, ooh, I'm looking forward to Precious Cargo. I had no idea. It was this glowing, wonderful, angelic woman.
And what was that like for you, Shauna?
Oh, I felt so honored and so grateful. And when I watched Grant stand up and on his own 2 feet accomplish that goal, I was, of course, sobbing in my goggles. And I'm sure I had the ugly cry, but I was trying to keep it together
you,
so he wouldn't hear me.
You don't have an ugly cry. That's for the dudes.
Yeah, I think it's for
but
the dudes, too.
I was so, grateful that I got to be there to see this moment, to pour into him, and to get to celebrate that. And because it meant so much more. All of the things that Grant said and the way I was looking at it as Grant's wife is, yes, we want this to be a powerful metaphor for so many people. But to me, it was a symbol of Grant getting to be who he is. He's an adventurer. He has done these, never to the South Pole, but this is who he is. And so for him to stand up and stand in his truth and share that with the world, that is what brought me to tears. And I will never forget that moment. And he did. He really did look at me like completely
what's
out of context.
What's going on here,
yeah, like,
right?
Like if you see somebody out of context.
I mean, putting that into context, this is my soulmate. This is my queen. This is the woman that the second I saw her, I knew I was getting married. And now take me to the bottom of the world, and this woman that I don't recognize is coming in for a kiss. Every cell in my body is reeling back. So you can imagine the shock my brain went through from 0 to 100.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to see the movie. I have not had a chance to see the movie yet, and I hope you guys get into Sundance. Regardless of that, we're going to have a screening here in St. Louis. And I know that the reason you came in here today wasn't to do this, but I love your story so much, and my wife and I tell your story so often. If there are people listening today, because Grant does, you do TED Talks and motivational speaking.
I do.
That's what you're doing these days. But for folks who want to hear this story, because this is really only part of the story, and when Grant does a full-blown version of it, it is moving, and there's barely a dry eye in the audience. So the best way to connect with you would be the website, Choose Positivity Now.
Yes, Choose Positivity Now, and I do corporate keynotes for conferences, groups, mastermind groups, conferences. This is my passion. I love it.
And social media, too.
Social media, too, at Grant Corrigan.
Yeah.
And I have to hook you up. I'm so glad that you saw John O'Leary because yes. I've been talking about you guys. I don't even know if he knows that yet, but we'll introduce you eventually and maybe do a whole show with both you guys. That was one of my ideas. So you got to come back here. You don't come to St. Louis enough, first of all. So shame on you. And there's this, the one story that I wanted you to share today, but we didn't have time, was this crazy truck race that you were in. What's that thing called?
It was the Vegas Torino off-road race. The desert race.
The desert race,
oh, my goodness. It was like being strapped. Like a Baja 1000 style in a trophy truck. It was like being in a 14-hour fist.
He's out of his mind. And, you know, he tells me this story in Mexico this spring. And he's going, and I think it was actually two trips ago. And you're basically ready to go to the hospital after that race, right? Your kidneys were all beat up. And then I asked, well, would you do this again? He goes, oh, yeah, I'd do it again right now in a heartbeat. You're out of your mind.
My last 2 hours were I was thinking about the hospital. I think you like the sound it makes, that wah, 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 wah.
It's a pretty good sound, it is. All right, you're doing a Kickstarter campaign, too. So mention that.
So the Kickstarter
campaign,
Go to Kickstarter and search The Push Is On. It's any of the South Pole movie stuff, hashtag The Push Is On, Kickstarter The Push Is On. You can go to my website, choosepositivitynow.com, but please support the Kickstarter. Thank you so much for all the stoke and support of Choose Positivity Now, and we are just so blessed to be a part of all
Mad
this.
Love, Grant Corrigan, Shauna Corrigan. Thank you so much for coming in. We'll see you soon. I'll see you in Mexico soon, which is even better. All right, thanks, guys.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Cut of the day is sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Good Feet Store art support's immediately available. Coming for your free test walk today. Right to the cut of the day here. This is President Trump talking about our resolve on this anniversary of 9/11. It fits well for the aftermath of hurricanes as well.
Woven into that beautiful flag is the story of our resolve. We have overcome every challenge, every single challenge. Every one of them. We've triumphed over every evil and remained united as one nation under God. America does not bend. We do not waver. And we will never, ever yield. So here at this memorial, with hearts both sad and determined, we honor every hero who keeps us safe and free. And we pledge to work together, to fight together, and to overcome together every enemy and obstacle that's ever in our path.
That's President Trump, a great message for this anniversary of 9/11 and in the aftermath of Irma and Harvey. Total Information PM is coming up.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.